This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
For the last year, we've been mentioning our upcoming Turkey tour. This June, we'll be following the footsteps of the Apostle Paul across Asia Minor. After landing in Istanbul, we'll jump all the way east to Antioch, which is modern Antakya, and then make our way to the various cities you read about in the Book of Acts, until we reach Ephesus and Izmir on the western coast. If you have considered joining us, we still have room for you, but the decision time has arrived. The sign-up deadline is just a few weeks away. Just to let you know what's to be seen in Turkey, we're jumping back about 15 years to an interview we did with Mark Wilson, who lives most of the year in Turkey. He's the founder and director of the Asia Minor Research Center in Antalya. At that time, his book Biblical Turkey, A Guide to the Christian and Jewish Sites in Asia Minor, had just come out. So we arranged to talk with him about the biblical sites of Turkey, noting that 2/3 of the 27 books in the New Testament were written to or from Asia Minor. The story of Paul's ministry begins in Antioch, where the Bible says the followers of Christ were first called Christians. In those days, it was located in a part of the Roman Empire known as the province of Syria. But today, it's in Turkey.
Yes, right on the northeastern corner of the Mediterranean, as Turkey dips down around that corner into an area called Hatay, Antioch on the Orontes, the modern name Antakya, taken from that, a very large, prosperous city.
And it was a dominant city in that time, the third largest city in the Roman Empire after Rome and Alexandria. There was a Jewish population there when Christianity came along. It seemed to grow rather quickly.
Yeah, it was an ideal place for the early church to come together and to expand. A very cosmopolitan city, multicultural environment, religion tolerance. Indeed, you can see why when Barnabas comes there and then brings Paul from Tarsus, the church really rapidly expands there.
The city itself goes back to the time just after the time of Alexander the Great, when the Hellenistic Empire was divided up into different sections, and the Seleucids were ruling in that area up until the time of Pompey at 64 BC when the Romans came in. I also was reading through your book and noticed a interesting fact that Herod the Great was responsible for paving the main street of Antioch.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that Herod has quite a lot of influence all over the eastern Mediterranean. We typically just think of him, you know, in Judea, Jerusalem, or Caesarea, but you know, Antioch and other places as well.
And why did there develop a Jewish population?
Well, we see a lot of Jewish communities now, especially in Asia Minor, by the time we get to the first century. As you well know, there are more Jews living outside of Judea and Jerusalem than there were in Judea, maybe 4 to 5 times as many. So probably by the first century, we've got a population of 800,000 to 1 million Jews living in Asia Minor. Many of these are brought from Mesopotamia as colonists by the Seleucids then to establish these new cities that they're founding. I personally think, for example, Paul's family was brought into Tarsus around 171 BC when Antiochus IV, better known as Antiochus Epiphanes, the one who desecrates the temple a few years later, but he's the one who refounds Tarsus and brings Jews into the city. I think this is when Paul's family comes and they're given citizenship in the city as part of the founding colonists.
There's also mentioned in Acts 11 of a famine around AD 45 that may have figured in the growth of Christianity in Antioch.
Yes, the famine that goes further east with a kingdom there. And, of course, Agabus is down there from Jerusalem and gives the prophecy about the famine, and we see the response by the Christians there to help the Jerusalem church during this critical period.
Readers of the New Testament notice that there's also another Antioch as part of Paul's journeys, Antioch of Pisidia, which is a little further west. And actually, there are a number of other cities named Antioch.
Yeah, there were 16 Antiochs founded during the Seleucid period. We only have two of them that figure in the New Testament, and that's the two you've mentioned, Antioch on the Orontes and then Pisidian Antioch.
Is there much to see in Antioch of Pisidia today?
There's actually more to see there than you would see in Antakya, the main Antioch. In fact, many groups will fly down there now. Airplane service has really improved in Turkey in the last couple of years. because distances are so great and the prices now are very inexpensive, you can, you know, save a lot of time and travel. So flying from Istanbul directly down to Antakya and starting a trip there. And it would take roughly about 2 weeks, this travel from down there, traveling to all the Pauline sites and ending up in Alexandria Troas at a distance of about 1,500 miles. A number of biblical tours will make that trek. But it is a bit disappointing in Antioch today because most of the ancient city is underground in that city. You have to go down to the port at Seleucia Pyria to really see much from the period of Paul. However, when you get to Pisidian Antioch, there's an active excavation that's going on there. The ancient city lies outside the modern village of Yalvach, so even though they plundered a lot of the stone and inscriptions into the modern village, there's still a lot to see. Really a lovely sight of Pisidian Antioch today.
Since we recorded this interview 15 years ago, Antakya has been devastated by a massive earthquake. But it is recovering, and we hope our visit will help its recovery. We're talking with Mark Wilson about his book, Biblical Turkey.
You just mentioned Tarsus, the home of Paul, who spent a lot of time traveling up and down on foot, and sometimes by boat. It took a lot longer than the flights you were just mentioning.
One of the exciting things I'm interested in here is the network of Roman roads that Paul traveled on as he crisscrossed this part of the world. We can still see evidence of some of those roads. There's a very nice section of road about 10 miles north of Tarsus. You can walk on for almost a mile. Just north of us here in Antalya, we have a very nice section of the Via Sebaste as it comes off the Pamphylian Plain and up over the Climax Pass, and still standing in situ, which means in its original location, at the top of the pass is a milestone from the Augustan period, saying that it's 139 Roman miles from that point to Pisidian Antioch, which is then called the Caput Vii, of the head of the road. So these very nice sections of road make very nice hiking paths today.
Sometimes driving in the American countryside, you see remains of earlier roads that go back to earlier parts of the 20th century, or maybe earlier than that. Here we're talking about roads that are 2,000 years old.
And in fact, you can see sometimes different iterations of the road, two or three, because they would be repaved, you know, as natural forces, earthquakes, floods would damage the roads, and they'd be repaved as we would do it with our roads today as well.
Well, Tarsus is another site in southeastern Turkey where Paul grew up as part of a Jewish family. What's to see there archaeologically?
Again, the modern city of Tarsus, it's one of the few cities in Turkey that's never changed its name from its ancient name to its modern name, built right over the top. Right in downtown a few years ago, they were digging a foundation for a building, and here they uncovered a very nice street from the Roman period. And when I'm there, I like to think that Paul himself, during his lifetime, undoubtedly walked on this nice colonnaded street that had shops along the side. So that's kind of one of the major things to see in Tarsus today. One of the things many groups never see, but I always take my groups to, is the largest standing Roman concrete building in Turkey. It's called, in Turkish, called Dunuktaş. We're not sure what it is. Some think it's the remains of a Mithras temple that was built, perhaps by Roman soldiers or inhabitants of Tarsus, slightly after the time of Paul, but it really is one of the most interesting archaeological structures we have in Turkey today.
And it's made out of concrete?
Concrete, yes. You can see the concrete substructure, and of course it was finished over with probably a marble veneer and other type of decorations.
I know we've talked about the Roman engineers and some of their work in cities like Caesarea Maritima, where they developed concrete to be used underwater. So it's not that amazing to think of actual buildings being made of concrete, but lasting for 2,000 years again is another thing.
Yeah, it's just massive building. You have to get a key, get special permission to go in, but you can see that it certainly seems to be a temple in terms of its layout and use.
You also live in an area nearby Antalya, which is also a biblical city.
Well, it's a lovely place right on the southern coast of the Mediterranean. Today it's a great summer holiday destination for Europeans and Russians. We have two biblical sites right here. Just east of town is the city of Perge, where Paul and Barnabas and John Mark landed at the beginning of their first journey. It's from there that John Mark left to go back to Jerusalem. Here in Antalya itself, it's biblical Attaleia. Paul and Barnabas departed from the port here at the end of the first journey. So we're in the ancient region called Pamphylia. We have one of the nicest archaeological museums in Turkey. In fact, it was European Museum of the Year here a few years ago, right here in Antalya, with a spectacular collection, especially of sculpture from Perge and the excavations that are going on there. And let me mention one more thing. We have three ancient synagogues that have been found in Turkey. The biggest one is at Sardis, again, one of the seven churches. A second one was found in the Hellenistic city of Priene, which is near Miletus. For the last 2 years, I was involved with a German team doing the first excavations of the synagogue that took place at Priene. And then here at Myra, 3 years ago, they discovered a third synagogue. They were able to identify it as a synagogue by the very nice marble plaques that were found in there, one in fragments and one complete one that's now hanging in the museum here in Antalya that has very nice menorahs on it, as well as an inscription that helped the archaeologists from the local university here identify it as a synagogue. So a very significant find related to early Jewish settlement here in Asia Minor.
How close are you to Myra?
It's just on the coast, a little over an hour drive. I was, in fact, just up visiting with the head archaeologist last week about their excavations. They found a wonderful late Byzantine church there last year, but he says that it's all, the whole ancient city is filled with alluvium. They did a ground radar of the whole area, and they know exactly the various buildings that are now underneath there just waiting to be excavated. They apparently are going to be very well preserved when the city comes back to life in the years ahead. So that's extremely exciting discovery.
And one other attraction that related to Myra, an early bishop of Myra is a person who has come down to us now as St. Nicholas or Santa Claus.
Especially a lot of the Russian and Orthodox visitors to this region make a pilgrimage down there to the St. Nicholas Church, which they've done very nice excavations on as well.
Mark Wilson, director of the Asia Minor Research Center in Antalya, Turkey, in a 2011 interview where we discussed his book, Biblical Turkey. We will be visiting many of these sites and others associated with the ministry of the Apostle Paul during our Turkey tour coming up June 8th through the 19th, just over 3 months from now. And it's time to make your reservation if you're thinking about joining us. We have information at our website at radioscribe.com. There you'll also find breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, information on our quarterly Biblical Archaeology News Magazine, Artifacts, and other resources. That's at radioscribe.com. If you're listening on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, give us a positive review so more people can find out about our program. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.